Rostov was bewildering enough in its confirmed facts, without taking into account his personal narrative. With regard to the latter, the public immediately hailed him as a modern Baron Munchausen, news reporters as a heaven-sent opportunity for a farcical write-up, and scientists as a maundering lunatic. That is where I think the little man was done a grave injustice. For the press, seizing on his story as an incredible explanation of an even more incredible situation, wrote it up in the way it always does in such cases, as a huge joke. The public, gulping its morning coffee and bacon, shuffled blindly after the leader writer's pipings and started a great big laugh that echoed from Peckham to Kamchatka. And that, of course, made any scientist who might have thought of starting a serious investigation shy clear of the whole affair like a frightened horse. I am not a scientist, not in the physics line at any rate, but I have had 20 years' experience as a practicing psychologist, and I will stake my life on this. Rostov believed every word of his account was true, believed that the whole amazing sequence of events had actually happened to him, no matter what other explanation may be offered. If we stop to consider his story logically and dispassionately, together with the known facts, instead of indulging in mere cachinnation, the disquieting thought comes to us that there is no known law which says it could not have happened. You may assert that Rostov cannot prove his story, but at least you can't disprove it. Let us start with the known facts. The beginning, or the end of the affair, whichever way you choose to regard it, has plenty of witnesses. Nikolai Rostov, dark, inoffensive, and 5'6", was physics and chemistry master at Gayling Grammar School. He had no relations in England, but he had two friends, one Hans Schoten, a Dutchman, and the other Harold Matheson, history master at the grammar school. These three had a common interest which brought them together at leisure time in a hut on some wasteland on the outskirts of Gayling. They were all interested in modern, experimental physics, and had got together a rough but fairly efficient laboratory in which they were trying to duplicate and extend some of Lord Rutherford's experiments in the transmutation of elements. In connection with this, at the time, they were studying the effect of high-frequency, high-voltage electrical discharges, miniature lightning flashes of a million volts, to use Rostov's words. On Tuesday, January 20th at 3 p.m., Rostov was on the platform of his classroom in the grammar school, taking the third form. He was standing in full view, away from his desk. He did not seem in any way unusual in manner or state of mind. There was not the slightest warning that anything out of the ordinary was about to occur. Yet, as he was tapping the blackboard with his pointer, demonstrating one point, something happened to him which startled his politely blank-faced class far more than if he had stood on his head and screamed. He disappeared. No sound, no flash, nothing. Only 31 round-eyed, open-mouthed boys staring at an empty platform. It says much for the impression which the incident made upon them that they sat in silence for fully 3 minutes before one or two older boys made a tentative search and finally went for the headmaster. But the most painstaking scrutiny of a combined force of masters and prefects revealed only one thing, that the science master had vanished in a split second from the Gayling Grammar School. The third form, meanwhile, found its voice and discussed the miracle from every conceivable angle, though the only explanation meeting with almost general agreement came from a golden-haired infant who darkly hinted that the devil had claimed his own. To suggest that the whole of these 32 witnesses were hypnotized is going a little too far. Besides, the masters were certainly not hypnotized, and as Matheson confided to me when talking over the case afterwards,
"Anyone who thinks he can hypnotize those young devils has never had any experience of Gayling grammar scholars."
Rostov's story. As you know, that wasn't the last that was seen of Rostov on that amazing Tuesday afternoon. For at precisely the same instant,